honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. Every veteran story is unique, and 99-year-old George Medeiros of Gustine, California, has taken us on quite a journey today. When we left off, he had come to the West Coast after World War II in hopes that the dry air would be good for his lungs. And in California's Great Central Valley, he connected with another family with roots in the Azores.
So this family, they told me they had a family on St. Michael that they want to bring over to the United States. If I would go and marry the oldest girl, which was one of my wife's sister, a proxy, just to bring her over. So I look at the picture and I saw my wife. I said, oh, what if I'm always 26. I figured, well, I'm just about ready to get married, alive. So I said, how about this girl? I'll go over there and marry the oldest one. But if I like this girl and she likes, if we hit it together, I'll marry her for good and bring the whole family. And that's what happened. And we still married. 3 months I met, 3 months later I got married. She accepted me. I got married and I brought the whole family over.
And maybe back then this was a little more commonplace, but for a lot of people listening, this is blowing their minds a little bit. So because you're from San Miguel, you get approached, say, hey, we know some people back there. Look at this picture. Marry this one so she can come to America. They're basically telling you don't even have to stay with her. We just want to get her here, right?
Yes.
But you look at the picture and you say, well, I don't know about the sister, but I like the little sister right over here, and I'll bring the whole family. And they said, that's a good deal.
Exactly. That's what happened. That's what happened. We still married for 72 years.
Well, but there's more to how that went. So then you had to go over there to meet her?
Well, I met her 3 months later. We got married, and I brought the whole family.
Were you a little nervous, though, heading over there? What's she really going to be like? What did I get myself into?
Well, I met her. I could see that she liked me. I said, oh, I wanted to know if I would be accepted. She said, yes. And we both agreed on each other. And we got married over there. And that's when I brought the whole family over.
That's a pretty wild story, isn't it?
It is. But thank God I done well. I came over here with that family. And then I worked in a creamery, and whenever I had my intentions all the time to go on my own. I was working in a creamery. I had a pasteurizing license from the state. Mm-hmm. I was doing well too. I was earning a top bracket. I worked over there about 16 and a half years. So when I accumulated enough to buy a place, I did, and then I went. I bought my wife a sewing machine, and I went to Modesto. She was taking lessons on it. And on this place that I bought, 30 acres on a corner of Hunt and Preston, there was an old barn, and I didn't know what to do with it. So I said, I saw a USA poultry advisor, because I wanted to build a poultry house. And he told me, well, you have this barn, there's a demand for fryers. Maybe I can get you going on it. And he helped me to buy second-hand old equipment, and I went with Foster Farms. Mm-hmm. And I started in a poultry business. After the barn, I built three more chicken houses. I was raising over 50,000 layer. And I met a man that was in charge of raising pullets. And he asked me if I wanted to raise pullets instead of fryers. So the offer was better than the one I had. So I took him over, and he told me, he says, well, why don't you look in the place by the highway and have layers? So I looked over, and I found the place 10 acres, about 10 acres, 9 point something. And I bought the place, and I built the first egg ranch. I put a sign up, and I done well. I was able to get pretty close to 300,000 layers, all automatic. And I was working in a creamery, and I still had the old ranch, but I had high school kids to help me. And my wife, she was a great worker. I couldn't have done without her.
I'm just putting two and two together now, because growing up in Las Banas, I knew your nephew, Joe, yeah. And we used to get eggs from them every once in a while from the egg ranch. So I've eaten your eggs.
Like I mentioned, I was the first one to come over. After that, my brother came, which was the father of Joe. He brought the whole family. And there was my sister and the family. There were a lot of poultry people came. A lot of people came over, and they went in the poultry business because I had started and I was doing well. So they started doing that too.
Well, there's probably a lot of people out there listening who have eaten the eggs that came from that egg ranch. And how long did you stay involved with that?
Then I went on the almond business. I bought some property. I thought that would be good to use the chicken manure as fertilizer. But it was not all that great. But I liked the almonds. So I sold the poultry ranch, and I bought pretty close to 500 acres of almonds. But things, almonds business was growing like mad, and I thought they were not going to be doing too well. So I sold most of it, and I have 40 acres that I kept. That's the ones that I have right now. And I have it with my son-in-law. He takes care of it.
So, you know, we hear a lot about the immigrant success stories. Now, you were born in this country, but when you came back, you were all alone. Your parents were gone.
But I had in mind always to go on my own. So I was saving, and my wife worked on a cleaner, and we were both saving and putting the money away till I was able to buy this 30-acre ranch, where that's when I started on a poultry business. My brother Joseph came over, and he also bought not far away from where I was. He bought a place.
This may seem like a dumb question, but, you know, something will be the in food, and then it gets villainized. So eggs were good, now they're bad. Then they're good, then they're bad. And almonds, they say, oh, it's too much water. No, but they're good for you. Those are a couple of the things that you've grown. I bet you've eaten a lot of both of those.
Yeah, I did. I was successful on both. I done a lot really good with the egg business, and I done real well with the almonds.
I was just wondering if maybe consuming those foods is part of your secret to still being so sharp.
Possibly, and that's, thank God I have a nice home, and I have enough to live comfortable with no problems, and I'm able to help my daughters and my son-in-law.
And I really don't want to be melodramatic, but I've been listening to the story and trying to pay attention, and it sounds like the best thing that ever happened to you was having bad lungs and having that doctor tell you that, you know, come out here.
Yes, you're right. That was the reason why I came over here to California.
But at the time, I bet you weren't thinking that's the best thing that ever happened to you.
I didn't. Never came to my mind to come to California all alone, because I didn't know anybody, nothing. And I didn't have any money. So I had just enough to get for the transportation. I worked in a factory in New Bedford, Mass for a little while, but there was enough to come over, and that was it.
Sometimes the things that are the hardest are the things that turn out best for us. And I want to talk to you about the honor flight, but, you know, first, you know, since if you didn't have that condition with your lungs, the doctor wouldn't have told you to come here. You wouldn't have met your wife. You wouldn't have had this whole life here on the west side of the valley. But 72 years of marriage, there's got to be a secret to that. How have you guys done that and still love each other so much?
Well, there's always disagreements, but we always ended up together in bed. And that was great. That's one thing that my wife, she always, on the end of the she always agreed with me. And likewise, I did too. We did give in to each other. And we were able to stay together all this time.
Well, let's talk about this honor flight. What was it like to go to Washington, D.C. with all those other veterans and see those things you saw? What stood out to you?
It was great. I didn't expect to see what I seen. I met Speaker of the House at the Capitol. I was able to shake his hand, which was great. I've seen him on TV and all that. I always did like him. But when he took Pelosi's place, I was really happy. So I told him that. He smiled.
Well, what did that mean to you that all the representatives from this area, a couple of them whose roots trace back to the Azores like you, Costa and Valadao, Duarte too?
He spoke with me in Portuguese. I was surprised. I thought he wouldn't speak. But he said, no, I can speak a little bit, you know. I was born, you know, he mentioned he was born over here. But he had his parents. He says he was able to learn Portuguese. So I was really happy to see him too.
And for that building that's been such a part of so many historic moments, to have them, have you and your fellow veterans as guests of honor there, what did that mean to you?
Great. I never expected to see all that in my life, especially on the end of my life. I never expect to see that and to be able to shake hands with the Speaker of the House. Fantastic.
What about when you went to the National World War II Memorial? And they have that wall there of 4,000 gold stars, and it says, here we mark the price of freedom. That's representing 400,000 Americans who didn't get to come home like you did. What were you thinking about when you were there?
I was able to take me and this. There was only two Second World War veterans. It was me and this other guy. He was a Navy man, but I was 1 year older than he was. And we were picked to take the reed of the unknown soldier. So that was a great honor to do that. That was a great, great trip. There's a dream trip. And I was happy and lucky to be on it.
Was there one moment in that whole honor flight experience that was the most enjoyable for you or the most meaningful?
It was one of the times of most enjoyable was to take that reed to the unknown soldier and to be able to salute it.
When you're there at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier or at the World War II Memorial that honors all those who didn't come home, is there any part of you that says, hey, that could have been me that didn't come home?
Oh, of course. My wife tells me that all the time. When she says, you know, you're really lucky not to be. Look at those guys with the suffering, and you came home doing great. I says, yes, I am blessed. I'm Catholic, and I carried the rosary with me all the time. When I was in the army, I was in a foxhole. I was praying with that rosary. You believe in miracles, but I think I was also transferred at the right time to this engineer company. I don't know why, but I think that's why I'm over here today.
You were mentioning, you know, praying with the rosary in your foxhole. Do you still have that set of rosary beads?
I do. And I told my wife that when I pass away, I wanted to have it on my hands. And if anybody of the girls, my daughters, if they wanted it, they could have it. If not, I'd like to go with it to the grave.
Well, if there's anything else that's important to you, feel free to add. But I don't want to forget to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country, and thank you for telling us this story. I am interested to know, is there something that you would say you're most proud of or most thankful for?
Well, I'm thankful to be an American, to have both. I've been born in the United States, and to have served my country, and blessed to be able to come home, which was lots of them that were not able to. So I'm blessed for that. I have everything I need. I'm comfortable with my life and my family, and I thank you for everything.
That is George Medeiros, 99 years young, from Gustine, California. You can find photos of George then and now at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes page on Facebook. Thanks so much for spending this hour with us today. I'm Paul Leffler, hoping you can tune in again next time when we'll be reminded once more through the stories of our veterans that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.